When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
Come on, Chano.
Season 9, episode 7 of the Fighting Court podcast. Today I'm joined by David Alfie Ward.
Hello.
A hungover David Alfie
Ward. Oh my, so hungover. I've just like, in the last hour, started to feel alive.
Yeah, yeah. I feel terrible. Absolutely terrible. And we're joined by Taco. Now, all right, Taco.
Yeah, hey, mate. How you doing?
Taco is a mate of Dave's and a newly adopted. Last couple of years.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, like 5 years.
And
like
Dave made you do it.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Right, before we clear this up, I feel uncomfortable calling you Taco.
Sure. You can call me Taco.
But what?
My name's Aiden.
Aiden, right. Why is your name Taco?
When I was 15, the first girl I ever kissed thought I looked Mexican.
And I'm half Colombian. My mum got knocked up when she was 22 in South America, came home, found out she was pregnant. And so I got this kind of tan brown skin. And when I was a kid in Australia, no one knows what a Colombian person is. So everyone just went Mexico. And yeah. I was like, sure.
And then, and so tacos, because it's just
It's racism, isn't it? It's like the Australian brand of racism, man. Yeah, yeah. I say in my show, she'd never seen a Colombian or a Mexican before, but she had eaten tacos.
Taco is a comedian along with David Appleward.
Yeah.
And but at the end of the show, I'm going to plug in something
I'll plug some stuff on Australia.
But first and foremost, actually, before we go on to the Arsenal game, because there's a lot to talk about in that. One of the most tense 90 minutes of my entire life.
Man.
Horrible, horrible experience. But before that, really important message. We got tweeted by @CrutchHarringay. The guy's a project lead for that charity. They're setting up a food bank in Tottenham. It'll be open at the Tottenham Town Hall towards the end of the year on the day of the Spurs versus Palace game. So if you're around and you've got time, nip into a shop, get some food and deliver it into a food bank, because the more and more people are having to use food banks because money's such a massive issue now. So if you got time before you get to the pub or go to the ground, just pop in a can of baked beans.
That's great, yeah. I love baked beans.
Right. I'll be all right.
It's like our British culture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, the baked beans is always, when I get a cooked breakfast, it's the last thing to go for me.
What?
Sometimes I'll switch a baked beans for black pudding. Give me two black puddings. For the baked beans. Absolutely.
That's a dry-ass breakfast.
Yeah. No, but if it's a good black pudding, it's like nice.
Oh. The first thing I do...
Dave, instantly regret inviting him on.
The first thing I do when I have a breakfast is just have a little spoonful of beans.
Yeah, of course.
That's a treat before we start off.
No, I'll go with the bread with the butter on top.
Right, Woolwich. Fucking Arsenal. Just tell me how you got through the game.
Everybody kept on buying me beers. Thanks to everyone that showed up last night. But if I had a full beer in my hand, I don't know why you kept on buying me more beers, because I was fucked. I remember just really screaming at Martin Atkinson a lot.
Yeah.
I remember when we scored, I jumped on Flav and I was like, and he was like, get off me! Because I think I was on there, but like, I think I was on top of you for about 5 minutes.
No, what it is, I'm not into being like grabbed and thrown around.
Yeah,
not by you, by anybody. It's just I hate having my.
You were just next to me.
Well, I was fine standing next to you.
No, but I'm just saying you were the first person. I just grabbed you. And then you was like, get off me! And I was
It's not a personal attack on you, Dave.
It was. I felt really personally attacked.
Anyway, how did you get through the game?
Too much beer. I don't really. It's a horrible game. It's like over almost 4 hours over a season. It's the worst 4 hours. You look at the fixture as soon as it comes out, and then as soon as the week before game finishes, you've spent all week thinking about the fixture, and then going 2-0 up. And I thought we were playing really well as well. I thought for the first time in a while we looked dangerous in attack. Yeah. We looked like we had some kind of good transition between attack and defence. The right back thing was a bit weird.
We'll come on to that.
Yeah,
we've got to talk about that.
So, but yeah, I was enjoying it, and then
well, you saw what happened.
Then. Yeah, and then when they got the one back just before half time, you could feel the atmosphere just.
Do you know there was a game where Thierry Henry was playing for Arsenal and we were 2-0 up, and they scored just before half time, and that was playing over and over and over my head, because as soon as at that time, you know, they scored a goal. You've got no time to rebound, and then they come in with a completely different attitude in the second half. And that was always going to be the case. Again, we'll talk about the errors that led up to that goal, which is completely avoidable. But yeah. Taco, you wasn't drinking yesterday.
Correct.
Which is admirable.
Thank you.
You know, it's good that you've
I'm a hero.
You are. But I could never watch that game sober. Absolutely not. And you looked... As someone, how long have you been following Spurs?
Like 5 years.
Five years. So you were animated.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me as a person, I think. But
right.
That was the hardest one. It's interesting starting off following Spurs, because at the start I was like, oh, I guess I'm just interested in this club, and you kind of fake it till you make it with the emotion.
Right.
Like I was like, at the start, I was like, oh, hey, Arsenal. And now that game, honestly, like, and watching it with everyone yesterday.
Yeah.
It was excruciating. Hated it.
Do you think, could you pick up on the tension? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think so. And just being around people, and like, once you, like, you know, for the first 6 months, I'm just learning the players' names and everything, and you learn a bit of the history.
Yeah.
And then, after a while, you learn it, so you get invested in it, and you learn everything that's happened in the past. And to know all that stuff now, and to be around everyone, like, yesterday was, I've watched, I think I've, maybe I've missed one or two of the North London derbies since I've been following Spurs, and yesterday was by far the most like stressful one.
Well, this is the thing, we set up the Fighting Cock socials to say that fans could come together and is a safe haven away from other fans.
Yeah.
But what you actually created is a powder keg of fucking tension.
It was like for that game, like it is everybody, you can just tell, like everybody's looking so nervous, tension's high, and they just kind of they're drinking, they're really kind of looking around, like it's kind of like a fucking rabbit in the headlights, everyone.
That's why I've got to stay out the back. I've got to get as far away from the epicenter of that emotion.
I didn't even go past that second screen into that main bit.
We sit right at the front, don't we, in the corner.
There is that, they do sit out there.
Alex and Bardi were there. But I stayed at the back as well because I just couldn't. If I needed to walk away, I could just get out.
So quite a shock when we went 2-0 up. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting, you know, we concede early. Spurs always concede early and come back, right? To go 2-0 up was just dreamland. It was dreamland. And and going into the half time, if we'd have just held on to that result, I think the game would have been different. But what did you make of Tottenham's performance in the first half, Tack?
It's just any food,
I feel much more comfortable saying taco.
What about enchiladas?
If anything, it's more fun for me to watch you stress about it.
I keep getting accused of being a gammon anyway.
He's a massive gammon.
It was interesting comparing that to last week with Newcastle because Arsenal are a better team than Newcastle, so it almost felt like that necessitated a more free-flowing style of play because they were coming at us. It was almost a relief to see that rather than last week, which was just frustrating passing around the box for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
At least yesterday there was an ebb and flow to the game, so I don't know whether we played better or if the game was just more open.
Yeah, they left some holes at the back and we exploited that quite a lot.
Well, as well, didn't we?
Yeah, and that was very encouraging. But like you said, with the goal, I mean, we went 2-0 up on the 40th minute and we just...
Is it 40?
40th minute. Yeah, I didn't realise until I watched the highlights back today, it was a 40th minute.
Oh, so they scored after 5 minutes, reply.
How did we not hold on?
That didn't feel at all.
I'm going to double check this now.
No, do double check.
I think you're right.
It could be right. Well, I think part of the reason why we failed to hold on was because we played a centre-back at right-back. I think that might have been a part of it. Now, I'm all up in Poch's arse. I love him to bits, all right?
Yeah, 40th minute.
Fuck me, that is surreal because you don't remember it like 40th minute at all.
Felt like we were 2-0 up for a while.
Ages, It's just like, just hold on. And it's like, actually, it's 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Shit, I love Pochettino. I absolutely love him. But I do not understand. I don't know why Sanchez was played at right back when Toby could play there, has played there at international level, and we have an actual right back on the bench.
That's what's winding me up so much. I think I kept on repeating it because Sanchez looked out of position. He didn't look comfortable there. He started to, especially towards the end of the game, he was blowing out of his arse because he do a lot more running. He doesn't come across like he's not really a centre back that can play right back. So when I saw the lineup, I was like, well, surely Toby's out there.
Yeah.
And when it wasn't, and Dan Kilpatrick tweeted and said, oh no, it looks like it from the warm up he'll be playing. And I thought, surely not, because the Aurier thing. Say what you want about Aurier, and you know. He is hit and miss and can be a bit of a liability at times. I mean, we all can agree on that.
Yeah.
But he's been playing right back probably for the last 20 years of his playing career, you know?
Yeah, he's been doing this for 20 years. It's like you've been a fucking detective. And Jesus' first day on his beat, he's going, you're now the lead detective.
Wasn't Yan right back against City?
No, he plays left.
My dad said that as well. He said, I'd just put Yan there. He would have done a better job.
He probably knew the position at least. It's really just was a weird, weird one.
It was weird. And Pochettino's got form for this.
Yeah, for doing weird decisions in huge games. Yeah. Like massive games.
When Son played left wing back.
He gave away a penalty, wasn't it?
The longest sliding tackle I've ever seen. He just slid and Moses just fell over just,
him. Moses saw it come and was like, blow up, that's something like that. Jumping on a train.
Moses had time to look at him and go, nah. There's a penalty. Yeah, he's got form for that. And I reckon that there was some thought in how successful Foyt has been in that position when he has played there in big games. And I can understand the logic in having a solid defender at right back when you're faced up against the £200 million front line of Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe. But it was clear after about 10 minutes that it weren't working.
No.
And he played 90 minutes.
Yeah, Aure was on the bench.
Is it say something about Arsenal that they spent £200 million on their front line and they can't beat a team that has Davinson Sanchez at right back?
Maybe that's what Poch was doing.
Maybe. Maybe he was like psyching him out. Surely, maybe Arsenal thinking, surely he's not playing right back.
You've got Emery going through Twitter going, well, this man says, no.
Calling their bluff.
Emery's on Twitter going, Dan Kilpatrick's just said that Davinson Sanchez is right back. At the social, when someone read out his tweet, everyone's like, fuck Dan, what does he know?
That was actually me. Who's that fucking know?
What's he know? But he knows a lot, apparently. So that was a little bit frustrating. But, you know, by and large, the performance in the first half, although Arsenal had the lion's share of the ball, I thought we were much more decisive and threatening with it. And every time we broke, even in the second half when we broke, we looked dangerous.
Yeah, I think Arsenal were the better team in the second half, but we still had our moments. There were still times where we could have potentially. Kane hit the post.
Sun running at them like four or five times. Sun running at the defense.
Yeah, terrified of Sun.
It was good. We had our chances still, and even that right at the end when Kane goes over really easy. I think if he's
Have you seen the tweet about the penalty that Aubameyang got last year that was given that Lloris saved? It's the same. If anything, last year was one hand, this year two hands.
What do you think?
I would be fuming if we got that given against us.
But you wanted it.
Yeah. But obviously.
That's the correct answer. Yeah. That's true. It wasn't a penalty, in my opinion. It wasn't a penalty.
Well, he played for the contact. Because you see him stop. Like, he's trying to shoot
the ball. He said he was trying to hold the ball up. Yeah. But actually, like, Lo Celso's at the back post unmarked if he just gets his head up and just drills it across the six-yard box.
While I remember, I read it's in the Telegram group, an absolutely belting message on the Spurs Show Facebook page. Give me 2 seconds where I find it. It was about Lo Celso, right? This can't be true, but this is what a guy said. I'm not going to say his name, which is unfair. I know it's early and I hardly ever say anything bad about the player, but I can't really see what's so special about Lo Celso. I hope I'm wrong, but the games he's come in, he hasn't done. He doesn't want to get stuck in or do anything. Surely this will be a loan and he should do a little bit more. Time will tell. He's writing off Lo Celso. He's played 7 minutes of football.
Has he?
And even yesterday, like he came on really late in a high tempo game, and he had a few good touches. He got a free kick late.
Pre-season and nothing.
You don't even have to respond to it. Yeah. It's just fucking mad.
Also, while we're on it, I don't know who Ruben is, but I woke up this morning with a guy's number called Ruben, and he's texted me and said, "Hi, David, this is Ruben from the Fighting Cock Social." And I just replied, "Coys, kiss, kiss." Yeah. Do not remember that. Don't know who you are, mate. Why have you got my number? Maybe we had discussed something. Maybe we're going to do some kind of project together. Please get in touch and let me know why, okay?
Yeah.
It was a minute later as well. It's like I replied, "Coys," and then thought, "Kiss, kiss."
It took you a minute. Yeah. You're sitting there, should I say this? Should I? Is this too much? Yeah. Fuck it, two. Lamella started again as well. Did all right.
Played well.
What do you think of the shot that led to the goal?
I feel like the keeper should be doing better with that.
Much better. But given the fact that he's never, ever had a shot with his right foot in his entire life, I was quite surprised about how well it went.
It was all right. Yeah, I think if it was us, you'd want the keeper to
do much
better. But, you know, I'm not complaining.
He made up with it for some amazing...
Yeah, he did make some good saves.
Lloris also had his fair share of
Lloris had a decent game, I thought, you know.
Yeah. It stunk of the goal we scored against West Ham in the 4-3 game. Paul Stalteri. Remember?
It was almost identical. It was like that, yeah.
Yeah, it went off.
You should look up that game if you don't know that game.
That was about 12 years ago.
Would have been about 2005, 6.
Maybe longer,
I don't know.
No, what would have been next? The blue...
Yeah, it was about 2006.
One of the greatest games.
Oh, my God. We was 2-0 down at half-time. We came back to 2-2. West Ham scoring like the 86th minute to make it 3-2.
Yeah.
We equalised in the 90th minute and then won it in the 95th.
Amazing.
Yeah, mate.
At West Ham.
Yeah, incredible.
And as you know, they fucking hate us.
I was in a pub in Walthamstow and there was this West Ham fan like going, "You fucking, you can't do it." And then when Del Terry scored, he got up and it was like one of those traditional pubs with a big wooden furniture, you know, really thick.
Yeah.
And he booted this thing and he broke his and he was like, "Oh, fucking got to go to hospital." And then he ordered a cab and he's to take him to the hospital, but he was like, "Can one of you lads like help me to the cab?" I was like, absolutely fucking not. The cab driver had to come in and like hobble him out with a way.
Fucking.
That's good shit.
We've got to talk about Danny Rose. I think a lot of people have lost patience with him. I'm still on the Danny Rose boat.
T said this, didn't he? In the group, said that he needs to be dropped. And watching back the game today, he was bad on the ball sometimes. He like held onto it a bit too long, lost possession and stuff like that. But he's a good player. He probably just out of form. It probably wouldn't hurt now if
he gets a little break.
He's been called up for England, but hopefully he won't start and he'll just get some rest.
It seems like every game that he has, he'll do bad things, but he still does good things. He never has like a shocking game where he fucks everything up as well. And so maybe I just love him and I see the good things.
I think that's what it is.
But you can't deny that all he had to do is put his fucking foot through that ball.
Before they scored their first.
There's a minute left.
Yeah, but then after that, there was about four or five different times we could have cleared it
when we're trying to play it out from the
was really bad. Like,
oh, some of those goal kicks, man. Yeah. Oh my god.
I at the time when watching it, because you got the goalkeepers, you got Vertonghen and Alderweireld on the 6 yard box, right? And the Arsenal players just waiting sharks on the edge of the box. And I get the idea. I get the idea that you pass it to one of them, they're so committed forward that it's much more likely that we're going to retain the ball once it goes forward. But it is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking terrifying to watch.
I remember you're like, get out.
I did.
Stop fucking around with it. Get out.
do you know what else I realised at the end of the game is I cheered the final whistle.
Oh yeah,
because it was 2-2, and realised no one else did as well. And I'm like, that you don't cheer a draw ever. But it was. I realised I was cheering just because it was over.
just a relief.
When we had it, I was like, "Keep going! Don't you dare fucking blow the whistle!" And then as soon as we turned it over, I was like, "Let it kill it!
I was asking for the full time whistle.
And it was down there.
What did you make of Kane's performance? I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, he was great. He held up the ball well. He dropped deep. He played people in. He allowed Son to like run at them by dropping in and kind of creating that space and. I think with Kane, he's so much more than just a centre forward.
Of course, yeah.
Casual fans or fans of other teams will be like, "Oh, well, he don't." But if they don't see him score, they think he's had a bad game. But he's so much more than that.
Man, this is my thing with Kane, is I feel like I need to go to the stadium because I'm always watching it on TV. Mm. I don't see the stuff that he does off the ball. And the stuff that he does on the ball, and he's got an amazing range of passes and he can finish and whatever.
Mm.
But everyone always talks about all this work that he does and I can never see it. I'm just going by
he's a fantastic...
You know?
Like, and even when he hit the post, I mean, that's such a great strike. Oh. Like, it just bent like a couple of inches goes in. Do you know what I mean?
So, even when you do, like you do kind of surmise this game as a... You know, we had the first half, they had the second, and the second was a stressful half because we kept losing the ball and they were so good with it. But you think of the moments in it, that hitting the post.
Yeah.
What was more a penalty was the Dele Alli one.
It's not talked about.
The rugby tackle.
He's trying to get past him.
Yeah.
And he holds him down.
Yeah. And surely if the ref hasn't seen it, that's when VAR is supposed to come in.
Do you remember the World Cup? Everyone was getting them every week.
Colombia one.
I actually have no idea when VAR is being used anymore.
Mm.
No.
I don't know when it is used, when it's deployed.
It's ridiculous.
Under what circumstances. Like, and that's I think where some of the frustration is coming from. And penalties not being given. I know they had to give the Son one because he was practically butchered. I'm going to say more definite penalty. What did you think about Atkinson's performance?
Do you know what? I remember it being really bad.
Right.
And him giving everything to them. Yeah. And like even...
He did a lot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's wrong.
No, But you know when you're so biased, you're like, fucking everything, Ref.
Yeah.
But Xhaka not getting booked for trying to butcher Son... And then had a three or four more tackles later and then got booked right at the end. I thought he should have been in the car from the first.
I was so fired up. I was messaging a mate in Australia who's a comedian who goes for Arsenal. And I was messaging him, and I was like, how the fuck is that? You tell me why that's not a yellow card. And he said, no, that should have been a yellow card, to be fair. But I was sorry, I just read it as, no, it wasn't. Like, I thought it was a message. I was like, fuck you fucking idiot. You know what you're fucking talking about? He goes, mate, read my message. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, it was,
you just saw what you wanted
yeah,
to see.
Yeah, I was just like, you're a cunt, fuck you.
I watched the highlights today, just to kind of recap, but you don't really see the refereeing in highlights, you know what I mean?
No.
So, but I remember, but I was very drunk, I remember him being a shit ref.
Yeah, like, I can understand why people really disliked his performance and were frustrated by it, because so many of the calls did go against us. But while watching it, and this isn't going to be popular, I didn't think he got that much wrong. I wouldn't give the Kane penalty. He probably didn't see the Dele Alli yarn because he'd been looking at where the ball is. And we were fouling a lot. That was my takeaway. And yeah, it was frustrating in to watch, but I think the Xhaka should have been sent off 100%. And
there was another one where he could have had a yellow as well.
Yeah. There was a three before or four he times got he got a yellow right really late on.
Yeah.
Do you think Harry Kane does get treated unfairly with penalties because he has a reputation for going over easy? And does it bother you that he goes over easy? Do you wish it wasn't a part of his game?
It does a little bit, because I looking back at that yesterday, he really is looking for the contact.
Yeah.
And he throws his body into it. And I don't like that. I don't like to see that. And it annoys me. Maybe I'm being a bit gammon myself there. Like, oh, stand your feet. Fuck it. But, it does a little bit, because I don't want him to get a reputation. And I feel like... Yeah, exactly. And...
The thing is, how you know he does go over easy is because he always falls in the exact same way.
Yeah.
If you're chopped, you have no control how you're falling. Your arms are going, you hit the ground, you smash your head, right? He's got developed a technique of going over.
Yeah. It's like the swan dive.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, I think if he wants to... I don't give a shit. Like, win. Like, win a game... And if we win by cheating against Arsenal, it's better.
Oh, of course.
Right, so I don't give a shit about that at all.
I just think he needs to
develop a new style of going over, so it doesn't look like he's done it again.
He went over pretty similar against Newcastle, didn't he? But I thought that was a penalty.
Well, it doesn't mean it's not a penalty just because he's looking for it.
And you integrate some sort of spin, like a twist into the dive.
Flail a little bit. it's too rigid.
There's a compilation of best divers in football that he can watch as a bit. Yeah. This is like Clockwork Orange. Hold his eyes open and make him get that into his game.
Yeah. But Barry AR89 on Twitter, he says, with two assists and one goal in the opening four games, surely Yomela is finally coming good and deserves his spot in the starting lineup. What does he have to do to prove himself to those who still want him on the bench?
I think we've covered that. He's had a good game, and he's had a good start to the season. And Lamella's always been kind of like a hot and cold player, isn't he? So right now he's blowing hot, and hopefully it'll last. But we've got a squad, and we should, deserves to be rotated. And
lucky that we've still got. I mean, we've got Lucas on the bench, and maybe that's what's spurring him on a little bit.
That was
the competition
that Mora didn't come on. Dave
Verney says, never seen a match that cried out for Luke Mora's pace on the counter-attack.
Yeah, it's true, I don't know, maybe he had a knock. You don't know the ins and outs.
He's played lots of football.
It did feel weird, like Ali just coming back first game of the season, Mora could have come on for 20 minutes,
Yeah, I think the Ali introduction was more about how his mindset. That he knows what he's like. He had a really good game and he did.
I'm not saying
No, I understand. The game suited Mora, I think. But it's like, get Ali on the pitch, it's going to wind him up.
He's going to spoil,
he's going to, disrupt the flow of the game somewhat. And, But when you think about our squad and how deep it is now, if we're ever in a situation where we have
a
full strength team.
Yeah.
With Dombele and Lo Celso, Lamella, Eriksen, who at this point, at the time of recording, is 4 o'clock, so he's got an hour to move from the club.
Yeah. And there's nothing really come
out
saying...
there's no rumours or anything.
No. Wanyama, we'll talk about that in a bit. But it's a deep squad now.
I felt a little bit frustrated seeing the team sheet yesterday, because it felt like last year's squad again, like with all the talk of like refreshing the squad. No. You look at the starting team sheet and you're like, fucking, this is just
we've had the same team for like 3 years.
Yeah. And then you look at Arsenal's squad or Liverpool or whoever, and they're, I mean, you should be looking at other teams, I guess.
We've made some good signings.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think Ndombele would have been playing if he was fit. He's not fit. Lo Celso is not quite ready.
Sessegnon's definitely not ready.
Yeah, Sessegnon is one for the future anyway. He's not really. We'll see him.
It's not like we could have done anything different, but I'm still looking at that going,
no, no, you know I mean? 100% agree. We didn't have any choice, but it is kind of like, it is the same exact same thing.
And you understand why Poch is frustrated in that, because even though the moves have been made, he's still got the same choices.
Yeah, absolutely. What else have we missed about the game?
They're shit cunts.
Yeah, they are. Did it further cement your feeling towards Arsenal?
It's set in stone, my feelings towards
Arsenal. Can I tell you a story from last night?
Yeah.
After the game, I went down to dinner in Broccoli near where I'm staying. And there was like once I went to this restaurant, just took myself out for a roast dinner before I went home. And I sat down, the only seat there, and I looked up, and I was wearing my Spurs shirt, and there was a dude wearing his yellow Arsenal shirt on a date with his missus there. And I was just sat, the only seat was just me staring at them the whole fucking time while I ate my dinner. And we didn't look at each other once, no eye contact.
Did you
but the whole time I was just fantasizing about if slumping I was rich, buying everyone else's dinner in the place except for him.
that pretty much, so, like, if you're going on a date in a football shirt,
sums them up, doesn't it?
More likely to be an Arsenal. Speaking of which, and let's not be mean, but we do need to bring up a video that's come up on the internet a little bit. So I don't want to be mean.
Doing it now?
Yeah. So if you haven't seen, there's a video on Twitter of a group of Spurs fans and a group of Arsenal fans in America, and they've arranged, definitely, because it'd be fucking weird if they're just marching around singing Spurs, arranged to meet on a bridge.
Halfway down this bridge.
Yeah, and which is kind of akin to what might have happened in the 70s and 80s in football violence.
Yeah.
And then they have this kind of sing-off. I wish I'd never seen it, so don't go looking for it. But it's... I just feel frustrated for the other American fans out there who just want to follow their football club, and they get tarred with this horrendously cringeworthy.
It was cringy. I don't want to be mean, but it was a bit cringy, and they've obviously done it to think they'd look cool and it'll go viral and stuff like that, but I think it's going viral for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, the only saving grace is there's Arsenal fans in it as well. I don't know. I'm not claiming to have any influence over these people, but please don't do it again.
It's a big bridge. They've gone for a fair walk.
They're really committed to it.
I wonder if they all live on one side of the bridge, who had to drive to the other side to walk from that side.
If they were about to kick 10 bells of shit out of each other,
that would have been so much better.
Absolutely fine.
But it's a long bridge, so if you think they've started the walk and thought, this is really a stupid idea, they're committed. Yeah. So they're like, and then they just get about 5 feet away from each other and start singing songs. Just go and watch the game in the pub and get drunk.
It's like the Liverpool fans who spend 3 hours waiting for the bus to turn up. Go in the pub, you sad ex. Stop being weird. It's so fucking weird. You see, actually, another thing that was on Twitter, the Arsenal fans that let off a smoke bomb when they thought they'd scored that third goal.
Sick.
And then just thought, oh, fuck, better put that down. Can't stop it. But
just put it on the ground.
There's a video on it. There's that was because I thought that was in. I didn't.
It felt.
Do you feel it?
You know, you know when a goal goes in and you feel it. You feel something's not right with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's called denial. Denial.
There is this inner thing when it comes to watching football. You see a goal and you think I don't know why. No, how?
I actually have that every time you score. Oh, right. but I know exactly what you're talking about. But the it's and with watching offsides, because you watch so much football. There's a couple of intangibles about watching football, and you might not have this yet. But if you watch I must have watched 1,000 hours of football in my life, maybe more. Right, and there's you can sense the flow of a game as it happens, and then you can sense offsides without even knowing. But I thought that was so close. You was in a calmer position than me, because I thought I was just
in a drunker position. <I think. laughs>
We'd blown it. I thought we'd absolutely blown it. And to get that, and then
was a bit worried when I saw the flag, and I thought, but then I thought, oh fuck, they'll check this.
Definitely.
And even if it's
It was marginal.
Yeah.
It wasn't weren't a lot of space.
No, so that
was...
Wasn't,
they could have been finer. As soon as they went to VAR, it was like, it was obvious
yeah, it was offside. But...
So I was looking at going, they're going to give it.
Really?
I absolutely fucking hate... I don't even like calling it North London Derby. Got to stop doing this as well. Just playing them cunts. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
It's awful.
It's awful. And I was saying to you, Dave, that something that only lasts, 4 hours out of an entire year is so dominating.
Yeah, it's awful. It's really, really, really horrible.
Yeah.
And that's why when we get them in the cups and stuff, it's even worse, because it's another 2 hours. Yeah. You know, it's like...
Yeah. And that would have been our only... That would have been our second win in Premier League era. It would have been second. Yeah. Don't get results there at all. Anyway, as much as I desperately wanted the win and was disappointed, I'm glad it's just done with.
Yeah,
it's like going...
You would have taken a draw before at the start of the game.
Would you have taken a draw at 2-0? You do consider it. Right now, would you take a draw? Like, obviously not.
I feel it's definitely shifted. I remember. I remember we beat them 2-1 for the first, years ago.
Danny Rose got one.
Yes. Ugh. And I remember looking at the clock and it was 2 minutes of stoppage time left to play and thinking, at least we can't lose now. Even if they score.
Yeah.
The mentality has changed over the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I did the same thing when we beat them 5-1. I've talked about this before, definitely talked to this before. We were 4-0 up and I was working out how many goals...
Per minute with the restarts.
I worked it out at that time. It was about, they need to score a goal every 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then obviously the time, and then that ratio got smaller. Yeah. And I was so much more comfortable in that way. They've got to score a goal once every 3 minutes. Yeah. Still not thinking this could be possible. They could do it easily.
You still think it's possible.
One final point. T wanted us to talk about Danny Rose, which we've spoken about, but Moussa Sissoko, in poor form, his words. I think people do, and you're talking about his finishing. I'm almost don't think about that.
Yeah, it's not even
that's not part of his game, is it?
He's a professional footballer.
As soon as he went in there, you know what was going on.
He should be able to kick a football and it not go 80 miles in the air.
You know? But it's part of his game. We make so many excuses for him because I love him so much.
Yeah.
And he should be able to finish the ball, or at least hit the target.
One day it's going to fly into the top corner.
I don't think it ever will.
Do you remember Sandro's goal against Man United?
Absolutely.
He's going to hit one of them one day.
I don't think he ever will.
What was the goal that he got? He got a goal when we were 3-0 up or something against Leicester.
Huddersfield.
But it was he deflected it
anyway.
Yeah, he bundled it into something.
He scored one good one against West Ham in the cup.
Did he?
Started it bottom corner. Which is probably aiming
for... that's right. Yeah.
He had an amazing shot against Arsenal when Leno did an incredible...
Oh, of course, yeah.
That was the best thing. The thing is, he does a lot of good work in midfield, and I thought he had a good game.
I thought he broke it up quite well. I feel like he might need a little bit of a rest as well.
Yeah. If Dombele plays, we would have won that game.
Yeah?
Because he definitely would have finished at least two of those shots.
Yeah.
Also,
Sissoko looked like he was pulling up with something in his legs at some point.
What, like a hamstring?
But then he played on.
We've spoken about this before. A man runs off hamstring.
I couldn't believe that against Man United. He's got up and he pulls hamstring and he's got up and trying to run it off. Medically impossible. All right, half time, a break, and then we have Windy, potentially. I don't know whether he's doing it. Sometimes he does. But to be fair, he has asked me and I've kept saying no. Because... boring, isn't it? Joking, I'm only joking with you. Anyway, here we go.
Cock! We still need to do those stupid fucking youth updates.
We're recording.
Windy, I like the youth updates. I think they're great. I really look forward to them. And I also like the fucking theme tune. It's sick.
Taco was saying halfway when we stopped recording Windy how much he enjoys it. And he thinks that I give you too much stick. But Windy,
no, not too much. It's just funny.
Windy knows this from a place of love.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And I love it.
It's hard to tell. When I'm listening to the podcast, I can't tell.
Yeah, but Windy knows.
I missed him last night.
He's just a lovely, lovely man. And I'll tell you what. This will, because I'm not sure if he even listens to this now. He's got his extra inch.
That's the problem. I felt a bit different around Bardi yesterday as well. Like, I felt like he feels like he's better than us.
Like an air of smugness.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. The extra inch are a smug lot.
Yeah.
Because they know a bit about football, or they chose to read fucking Michael Cox's zonal marking. You know, anyone can read that book.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just we've got fucking lives.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, apparently it's a very good book, so check it out. Michael Cox. Actually, don't, he's a gooner.
They're funding gooners.
Yeah. Wow. See, that's why I've not read it, mate.
No, it's not that I can't read.
Let's do something nicer, Windy, right? Let's just say, anyone listens, if you've got time, you've got Twitter open on your phone, you might have, just go to @WindyCoys and just say,
that's Coys, come on, you shirts.
Just say, you're a lovely man. Nothing else, no context, just, and he might get 100 people on one day just saying, you're a lovely man.
He is a lovely man. I'm scared of spiders, though.
Imagine if he doesn't put two and two together for the fact that it's come from the pod.
You're scared of spiders.
I'm not someone that's scared of them, but...
Windy's scared of spiders.
What? Like, you live in the most...
Yeah, fuck that.
Hey, what did you think, Dave, though, being in Australia?
I saw a huntsman once.
You saw one huntsman.
And it was the size of my fucking hand.
And they don't
bite. And then I was staying in like a 60-year-old woman's Airbnb, and I was screaming, and she just came out and just put some Tupperware on it. She went, that's a harmless one. And then I Googled it. Apparently, if it can bite you... on the neck up can paralyse you, so it's not fucking harmless, is it?
I've never heard that.
But I've never heard that. You've chosen. We're talking about huntsman spider, but there are shitloads of animals that can kill you.
Small ones. I always say to British people, you know, we live in cities with buildings and shit. Hey, I'm not living in a hut in the desert.
I don't anticipate that you are, but I also know that, like, what was it, Mollybrook? Mollybrook.
I don't know
what that is.
What's that? Is that a place or a person?
I don't know.
Is that even one word or two words?
Molly. It's a. It's basically the highest concentration of animals that can kill you in Australia.
Yeah,
sure. I've never heard of it.
Well, when I was in Australia as well, I was staying with my ex's relatives, and this guy was like doing the gardening one day in sandals, no socks, and he was just like, look, funnel webs, which are the ones that can kill you. And I was like, you're just standing there with your feet out, like...
they make their webs in holes and shit.
Yeah.
So you just know to fucking, I guess, yeah. And also, like, if
you're
in the country...
No, you don't go near... Like,
yeah, well, you don't go near the hole. If you're in the country, you have to, like, if your shoes are outside, you fucking bash your shoes out to make sure there's no spiders in there before you put them on.
Fucking madness. Don't go back. You must think, I'd be there, like, is this the day that an insect gets me?
No, I don't even think about it.
Every day you wake up... I was in Australia 9 months and I didn't fear my life.
No. Did you go in the sea?
Oh, the sea's chill.
Yeah, it did.
You don't go in the beaches. The beaches Bondi. Near the city are all so sweet. Even Bondi, man, it's like so chill.
It's not.
But the ones if you go, there's a beach called Cactus, about 10 hours away from Adelaide, where I grew up, and that's where people get took by sharks. Like on the Great Australian Bight on the south, people go surfing out there and get fucked up by sharks.
That sounds fucking horrible, doesn't it? The Australian Bight?
The Great Australian Bight, because it looks like a bite taken out of the country.
Yeah, so warning.
But if you're driving 10 hours,
a shark bit the fucking country. What's it going to do to you?
If you're driving 10 hours from anywhere, you're a fucking psycho, to be honest.
Yeah, true. And just, we're going to move on from Australia in a second, but I've never met a real life Australian before.
Still haven't. He's Mexican.
Flav's like, oh, no comment.
Alice Springs, what's all that about?
Alice Springs?
Yeah.
It's alright.
It's alright. There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just a town in the middle of the desert. It's only there because Uluru and... I don't know what they do there, actually. I went there when I was 13.
Uluru.
Uluru, that's the big rock.
Oh, the kangaroo.
Oh.
No, Uluru's the rock.
I thought you meant Nauru. Like
no, Uluru is because the white people called it Ayers Rock, but we don't like to call it Ayers Rock anymore because it's like racist. The Aboriginal name for it was Uluru, so we call it their name because it's their fucking thing.
Woke.
Yeah.
He's so woke.
it's called it's okay with being called Taco. He's not
that one.
right, that's a fucking long question here, isn't it? All right, I'm doing my best. A magic wizard on Reddit, he says, with three long-serving, incredible players walking out the door for the free next summer, it's clearly the end of a great era for Spurs. However, do you think he should be criticised for not doing enough with his squad in terms of trophies and titles? Under Poch, we've been runners-up in the League Cup and the Champions League when we should have maybe won all three. Do you also think Poch is fully committed to the next phase or era? He seems to have lost some of the enthusiasm that he had when he first joined, and the full rebuild would take another one or two years to get going. Is his head been turned?
I don't think his head has been turned. I think it's going to, like this guy said, it's going to be a rebuild project, because it looks like we're going to have a lot of players leaving next year on a free. Hopefully he is still committed. I can understand why you think he wasn't, because there is a bit of... It does feel a bit different at the moment, but you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. He said this phase, whatever... In his life, he was like phase four of Pochettino.
Yeah, yeah. He talks like he's a Terminator or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be hard from next year, but hopefully we buy well, and you know, someone like, you know, Sessegnon comes in and he'll be a starter next year, and you just don't know what's gonna happen, do you?
Man, I had a bit of a, like, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I had a bit of a realization where, like, if I'm honest with myself, I thought going into this season, I was like, right, we've bought these three new players, we're going to be challenging. Mm. And then in the last few weeks, they've not been starting, and it takes a while. And I've realised how young they are as well. It's 23, 22 and 19. And I've started to kind of try and accept for myself that maybe it is going to be one or two more years of another few windows buying players. And then re-listening to the things that Poch has said, it's like, he actually knows that.
Yeah.
It feels like he already knew that, and we're all kidding ourselves because we just want it to happen now.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point.
That is a really good point.
And I think that's somewhere where the frustration's coming from, because not everybody has come to that realisation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've bought these players, and
It goes with two... transfer windows without buying anybody, and then we buy someone. You think, right, this is it.
Yeah,
now.
This is it.
This is actually,
Levy's just found a bunch
of
money.
They are young players with a lot of potential. So maybe that's
coached in the
system. Exactly. Yeah. And maybe that's what's happening. He knows that Eriksen's going to leave next year, so Lo Celso will now get a year to go into his shoes, and it's not going to happen overnight. I still think we'll get top four this year, because we are probably the third best team in the league still. So, but I feel we. Like, I mean, if players like Alderweireld and Eriksen and stuff leave next season, then surely we've got to win something, even if it's just a League Cup or something.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it'll be such a shame.
Yeah,
it'll be
nice, yeah.
It'll be such a shame.
It will be, but it's like, it's their fault, isn't it? They were there. It's their fault.
It's not good enough.
I mean, they were on the pitch. They're the ones who can win.
Yeah.
It would be nice for us as well.
Yeah.
If this is the new process, in that we do refresh this squad in a bit part way, so that in January we might pick up another player, then next summer we sign another three, and then the final in January another one, then it does become like a tangible refreshed squad that's going to be receptive to Poch's ideas. It's just that we're starting from a place of without a head start, essentially.
Of course, and seeing how dominant Liverpool and Man City are, you know,
it holds a mirror up.
Of course it does. It holds a mirror, and you think, shit, like, we need to be there, and maybe we can be there, but not overnight.
Yeah.
If Toby and Yan both go, we need to buy a top rate centre back.
Well, of course.
We can't buy, like, you know, a 21-year-old and put. We got to go and splash 60 or 70 mil. If they both go.
Yeah,
there's no really getting around.
I hope
one of them signs a new contract.
Yeah, even if it's just for
another year. Just Jan, if he stays on for,
If you have to keep one or the other, who would you keep?
Toby's 2 years younger, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he?
I like Jan better, but Toby's younger.
You see Jan's comments?
What is that?
He said, I haven't been injured. All I want to do is play for Tottenham. I love this club.
Yeah, I think Jan was who I'd want to stay.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You see, just like when he came out and he was clapping, and when he looked up at the sky, and he gets it. Do you remember against Ajax?
Yeah.
When he was lined up to Ajax, he's obviously an Ajax boy. He was tapping his shirt, I'm knowing my allegiance.
He's been here a long time, and he obviously has an allegiance to the club, and that's great. So I'd like him to stay for another year or so, because he's one of these Rolls Royce of players that he never relied on pace, you know. So he can play a bit longer, and you know, we saw against Juventus a couple of years ago when, you know, Harry Kane was scored. By
Bonucci
and Keeling.
Yeah, they looked incredible.
Yeah, and they were fucking 35.
They are so old.
Yeah.
They were so old.
No, Jan's like 34, isn't he? Is he 34 or 33?
I don't know. Someone said 33, but in my head he was like,
I thought he's 32.
He's 33 at least.
But like you say, he's the kind of defender that has a few more years.
He could be club captain, man. He's, you know, like,
Kane will get captain.
Yeah, Kane will. But if Lloris wasn't there, you would put Jan for captain, surely.
Yeah.
This is a fucking Goliath,
he's vice captain,
man.
I think. Him and Kane are both
Yeah.
I still like Danny Rose's captain, but it's never going to happen. But 32.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's all right. He's got two, three years.
A new contract with the club. I don't know how much he's going to earn.
What's he on, though? Like 80?
Must be around there. And a new contract, he'd be asked to put up to 150, 200 maybe.
Oh.
Which is, this is what I'm talking
about. Is he getting that anywhere else, though?
No.
One of three, you will.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, that's the problem. We've got this culture coming in of people running down their contracts so they can get signing on bonuses and a bigger wage.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can't blame him.
Yeah.
Like, he's 32, so it's going to be his last contract.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have to match what you would get at AC Milan or I don't, unless we try, we'd start sort of making up lies about Inter Milan something. Racists.
Yeah,
and they will hate you. You're Fleming.
Start leaking.
Racist against another white dude.
No, but they're so nuanced with their racism.
Yeah, they are. The Rolls Royce of racists.
They know so much. They understand Flemish culture, and that's why they hate it. One of them, Ericsson, because it'd be a lot to have to try and replace those three players. They are among our. I mean, the whole squad's good, but they're just crucial to the way we play.
So
happy when I saw Vertonghen on the team sheet.
But it was more because it was forced. You think if he didn't hate or if Kyle Walker-Peters was fit, would Vertonghen have played?
I hope so.
I fucking hope so as well. Yeah. Whatever's happened, where are you?
If I speak about Sanchez, I will get in trouble. So where are you two at?
I'm with Sanchez. When we first signed him, I was like, what a player this guy is going to be.
Yeah.
He was, 21 at the time, 20 or something when we signed him. And he looked kind of, it's so cliche, but raw, so much potential, you know, that natural athleticism, brute, strong, quick.
Yeah.
But he feels like he hasn't pushed on in the last 2 years.
He's not strong. Let's just get that out.
Yeah.
Well, I remember...
He's not a strong defender. Either he is strong and he doesn't know how to use his weight, or he's a weakling.
I remember watching all the videos of him tracking back and making those crucial challenges, and he does that, but there's still, he's got mistakes in it.
Yeah, but sometimes with centre-backs like that, like, you see these compilations of them, like, tracking back and making last-ditch tackles. Good centre-backs snuff out the danger before they have to do that.
What do you think that he will be trained to be good?
I hope so, and I think Pochettino does do wonders with defenders. Pochettino was a top international level centre-back himself, so...
But are you hopeful?
I don't know. It's still up in the air. I think he could potentially turn out to be very good or just never really push on and be average.
Not having a good run of games.
I think
Poch sort of trusts him more than anyone else. He was very defensive of him in the press, wasn't he, last week, where people were talking about his mistakes that he's making that led to dangerous situations.
It was Newcastle and City he made mistakes with his positioning. With Sterling, it's hard, but he let Sterling drift behind for that goal against City.
You can forgive him for that.
With Newcastle, he didn't hold his line.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I called this a long, long time ago. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Why are you so defensive already?
I just fucking...
Double down, man.
I'm just...
What? You think he's shit?
I don't think he's shit.
You hate Colombians?
I love Colombia.
This is why I'm on the pod this week.
I love Colombia. There's.
All right, mate, we get it. You like Colombia, right?
He's read a book. Marching powder. That's Bolivia, mate. I read that book.
I was about to say it was Bolivia. That book was kind of the same.
That book was given to me by a man in a hostel who ended up getting kicked out because he pissed his pants in the common room.
that makes sense.
It's a great book.
It is really good. Where were we? Sorry.
Sanchez, you were saying that you called it.
I saw the mistakes early and I mentioned it, and I also called Paulinho within 2 games of seeing him.
Well, and then what? So you're a hypocrite because that man that called Lo Celso after 6 minutes of seeing him, he was like,
yeah.
Huh? So.
you're right, you're absolutely right.
Are there any ones that you've called earlier that have proven you wrong? Sissoko, probably.
Kane's the most famous.
Harry Kane.
He'll never make it.
And then there was the mask thing.
Like, that isn't just wrong. You couldn't be more wrong about it.
Yeah.
We all called it, though. I remember, do you remember there was a meme going around
when Adebayor and that were injured, and it was like just Kane, chill, I got this.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. It looks like a gorm.
Yeah, and he's like really young looking, like, chill, I've got this. And everyone was like,
red in the cheeks.
I remember going to White Hart Lane and a kid having Kane on the back, and me and my mate like, look, there's a kid. I really hope that's his little cousin or something.
Yeah, because like, he's got a bad jacket.
Yeah.
Thank fuck. Like, we don't deserve Harry Kane, really. We all wrote him, as an entire fan base said, you're shit, mate. And he loves us.
Yeah, he does.
He's like an abused child that still love their parents.
Or like a dog that's really good at football.
Yes, a bit like that. news and articles. RMC Sports says Marseille are making an attempt to sign Victor Wanyama before.
Why is that in there? Who did this lineup?
T always does it. He does a bloody fine job, generally. Well, but that is not that's a waste of time. You've wasted all of our time.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes has revealed he had agreed to join Spurs, but Sporting Lisbon did not accept the offers.
See, again, like I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was on, I never even believed these Bruno Fernandes rumours. I thought it was just to try and push Lo Celso.
Yeah.
Because
they were very similar players, and Lo Celso was higher rated anyway.
What would we have done with them all?
Yeah,
if we
exactly.
had signed Bruno Fernandes.
If we got them both, that'd be crazy.
No.
When would they play?
Bruno Fernandes, from what I've seen of him, gives away a ball a lot, but I haven't seen that much of him.
Imagine if we got Fernandes.
That was my on the continent kind of analysis.
Gives the ball away a lot. But it's much more interesting than going bold early, even if you're fucking wrong, than just having like a measured take. Lorente joins Lappoli.
Yeah, did you see what he posted on Instagram? Very nice.
Yeah, it was nice, but we offered him a contract he didn't sign, so.
But maybe he wanted something different or wanted more money.
Been here 2 years.
I saw the picture.
It was nice.
I saw the picture of him in the Napoli nice shirt. He doesn't look as attractive as he did before.
No.
Withered his once beautiful looks.
Well, I just think that I think he's busted and overrated. Fuck you. Ito Salib, fuck you.
Nice words, and thanks for that goal against City, Fernando.
And it's a handball anyway.
Yeah.
His hip.
He handballed it.
His hip.
The other angle, he hit his hand onto his hip. It was handball. So it's not even your goal, really.
But that's taking his biggest achievement in a Spurs shirt away from him.
I am. He's left.
All right,
fuck him.
Fine.
No, he wasn't even like, people didn't really like him at Spurs, really.
No.
But he was directly responsible or had a massive part.
And also, he did
part.
The knockdown in Ajax.
Yeah, he had a massive part in
Ajax. No, he didn't touch that.
No, he knocked it down.
He
to
didn't
Ali.
Touch that.
But his influence ensured that.
I swear.
So taking that away from
him. He touched it. He had his left leg out.
I swear.
I touched it.
That is the Ajax defender tries to hook his leg around him and he kicks it.
Right. So what we're doing? We're taking the Man City goal away. What else can we take? We're taking his looks away from him.
He looks ugly.
Do you know what, Fernando? Get fucked.
Yeah. Fuck you, man. Football London says. Mauricio Pochettino has revealed that he rejected plenty of job offers during his Spurs tenure. I don't think that's surprising at all.
No, of course not. No.
Well, like, by virtue of him being here, he has to.
Yeah, he just got off nominated for FIFA Coach of the Year or something.
No manager has any chance of winning that if he plays Davinson Sanchez at right back. Doesn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. They say, we've got Pep here. He's won everything, and Klopp's just won the Champions League, and Poch plays Davinson Sanchez at right back.
Yeah.
Or he is a genius.
He's a maverick.
I don't claim to know more about football than Pochettino, but I wouldn't have done that. I definitely would not have done that.
Maybe that's what marks him apart, is he will do the things that literally no one else will do.
He'll do the jobs that no one else will do, like immigrants.
Where's that come from?
I'm saying the value of immigrants. The value of immigrants is that they'll do jobs that.
Oh, okay. And that's their value as humans. Yeah. Their only value. Yeah.
Definitely not their only value. When you're talking about capitalism and the way our society runs. I'm not saying, like, if you're a working class white man moaning that you can't get a job.
Yes.
Then maybe go play right back for Spurs.
Yeah. Come and play right back for Spurs. Was that right? I feel like I made a
mistake.
No, it's fine.
I mean, you know. I know what you mean.
It's not about not making mistakes. It's about being able to accept when we have made mistakes.
Are we still talking about immigrants?
We're talking about anyone, really.
I see a guy in the news, and he's like, when it was about Brexit, and it was like, yeah, but at least when we close and that, like, stop all the Muslims coming over. Like, mate, you're in for a bit of a shock when you find out that Muslims don't come from Luxembourg. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jesus.
This guy's never been to Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people can become Muslims who live here.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's a religion.
All the Muslims. Hearing really old men talk about Muzzos often. That they call that's what they'll call them.
And you didn't want to call me Taco.
Wow. Muzzos. It's mesmerising. I'm sitting there listening to them talk about it. It's absolutely mesmerising.
Yeah.
And there's a very left wing liberal man.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Gammon.
No.
Absolutely not. Someone photoshopped my face on a piece of ham.
It's funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's funny for you. It's hurt my feelings. Questions. Aldo16, he says, do you think Dyer has a future at the club? What do you think his role is going forward?
I think he'll be gone in the summer, but he'll play some bit part role this season. I still think, because he's quite a...
big part.
What's the word I'm looking for? He's a utility player.
Versatile.
Versatile. Mm. Then he'll still play. Like, he could have played right back, really, and probably done a better job.
I think he was in line, but he was injured.
Yeah.
He got injured a day before training.
Oh, right, yeah. So,
But, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've moved past Dyer. Dyer came in that first season, that he started playing him at holding midfield, and I really...
Yeah, he was one of the first...
I'm very ashamed of this, but I went on to Spurred On TV outside the ground.
Yeah.
And I spoke about Eric Dyer, and I was a young David Alfie Ward at that stage. No.
He's on the youth.
Sparkly eyes. And I was like, Dyer, what a player. Like, when I thought, like, it was a good idea to do this.
Yeah.
And a bigger regret, then I took that clip and sent it to Flav, and I was like, can I come on the fighting club?
Yeah. This is about 5 years ago.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, probably because you got loads of requests, but yeah.
That's so funny.
And he's done one of those outside the ground camera, what a wanker.
This is you completing the loop now. 5 years later, you're disavowing that remark that got you onto this podcast on the podcast.
Yeah, that's
you live
at Circle of Life.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Well, she was old enough to know better. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, no, sorry, I fucking lost my run, Audrey. So I think, like you said, Dave, Dyer has moved. We've moved past him now, and he hasn't been able to keep up at that level. I don't think. I thought he'd be okay in cup games.
Yeah,
and his
exactly. And I feel like he could, you know, I'd like to see Dyer go on, move club, and, you know, be a starter somewhere, because he's a good.
Man United were linked with him.
Yeah, see, I would say, like, he could go somewhere.
Was like £50 million mooted at one point.
That was like 2 years ago.
I was like,
no, don't sell him. No, he was like a fan from when he was a kid or something.
Yeah, he really wanted the move.
It's just his attitude on the pitch, and that game versus Chelsea tour.
Yeah.
It's like he was the guy on the pitch, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, he could go to a club, you know, for 6th to 12th kind of range in the league.
How much do you think he's worth? What do you think Eric Dyer's value is?
30 million because he's English.
30 mil.
To another English club?
Yeah.
And you reckon less overseas?
They
how much did we sell Trippier for again?
21.
He's better than Trippier.
Yeah, I reckon you get 30 mil for Dyer.
Trippier's killing it in that.
Yeah, he is. It's a shit league, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Farmers League, isn't it? Jackson Rye on Twitter, he says, Flav once said his best chat up line is, I can get an erection, but I can't come. Yeah, I can get hard, but I can't come. It was actually an erection, but whatever.
What was your best chat up line?
It works, man.
I can get hard, but I can never come. What? So it's basically like, I can fuck you for ages. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked.
In code.
No, well, what actually happened?
And it worked.
Yeah.
Well, how far into conversation are you dropping that?
Quite early.
Yeah. Straight up.
Straight up.
That's your opening line.
Yeah, yeah. Like, my name's Flav, and this is my catchphrase.
I'd often do it. The very first thing I'd say would be that. And they'd be like, shocked.
You could not say that in 2019.
And this...
It's assaulting me.
I've actually been saying it lately. Because, as people know, I've gone through mental health stuff this last year. And the medication I'm on is a medication called sertraline, and amongst other stuff. And I looked it up, because since being on this, whenever I've had sex, I can't come. And I'll be like, why can't... So I looked at it, and it's also given to men that...
Started punching the walls.
Yeah. It's, like, it's given to men that suffer from premature ejaculation, which is something I don't suffer from. Now I just don't come. So and I just get blue balls, and it's fucking horrendous.
Can we...
Savage.
No, we're not going to fuck so you can see.
What is it? What's the name of that? Sorry?
Sertraline.
You have to write it down, please.
So that was your chat line, but was you true to the word?
Absolutely not.
It's
just a lie. It's just a lie, yeah. I lied.
At least I've been telling people, like, you know, don't feel bad when I can't come.
I was definitely... up to my eyeballs in MDMA as well, so I probably didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Would you never just do it yourself, Dave, at the end, if you're just like, then finish yourself off at the end.
Can you not even do that?
No, I can't even do that.
Really?
I might get a dribble.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I need to go to the doctors and be like, can you change
this? Different one. Yeah.
But it also...
Yeah. I don't mind being sad, actually. I just want to come.
Yeah. You know what else?
At the moment, it's a bit of a superpower that, you know, that I don't want.
Me and my mates, this is really bad, right, but I'm going to say it. We would say, what's the worst thing you can say at the start of a conversation with a girl that you want to chat up and still see if you can end up pulling that girl?
Right.
Right. So what my one, which is what they give me, is there's something you should know about. There's something you should know about me. I've hit women.
And that was your opening line.
Before saying my name.
Before
we start, this is something you need to know. In the past, I've been
that will get their attention. Are you allowed to then at any point say that was a lie?
Well,
or do you have to keep facade?
I don't think I ever said it was a lie, but I think it was because the way you delivered it was clear that I was joking.
Yeah.
So you never did it seriously.
Not aggressively.
No. Have you hit women?
Slam down your pint, look them in the eye, go, I should tell you something.
It wasn't like that.
Of it, women.
Yeah, no.
Do it again.
It was just like, there's something you should know about me just before we start this.
All right.
I've hit women in the past.
And what was the worst response you ever...
The worst response? Like, some people said, like, some people didn't get it and just thought I was a dick, obviously, and most of them laughed. And just
I guess if a girl's going to laugh at that, then number one, you've got their attention, and number two, that's a funny girl.
Yeah.
So you're in there.
Yeah.
I have a bit in my stand-up that girls have seen about how I got chlamydia when I was 20. And I do the story about how I got chlamydia, and then...
Oh, did you?
And I just got it from sleeping with a girl, but me and all my friends thought that we all had it because we all slept with the same girl. Jesus. So we all went and got tested together, and actually it was just me that had it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Why didn't you use a condom?
Because I was 20, mate.
Yeah, you told us about it. Like,
you're, no,
like,
man. You condoms when I was 20. No way. No way. No, oh, yeah, of course.
Really?
I'm very sad, actually. I ballsed up a thing that I was going to have sex with a person that I quite like this weekend, and I have an empty house to do it in, and I fucked it up for various reasons. And I had in my bag, I just went through my bag today and I found all the condoms that,
oh,
I bought,
good,
that I was going to use.
That's it. So that's
but message. It was a sad moment because I had to take them out and go, I remember... Boys, I remember when we were fucking signed, sealed and delivered. Well, maybe next time.
I mean, I use condoms, but I don't come now, so like, it's even worse if I'm using... Like, there is a chance. I would say, like, one in five,
yeah,
I'll come.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm wearing a condom...
No chance.
Do you know what I mean?
They are horrible.
Yeah.
But do wear them, because...
Yes, please.
You know,
I definitely do.
Don't,
please wear them, because you end up going to the clinic with your mates and not knowing...
Who's not knowing, that is a great bit. That, and more for the point, it's much more respectful to who you're with.
Of
to,
course.
To say it. If you're, if
even
you're
if you just... Well, you've got to have the discussion, of course.
Yeah, if you're just like... If you pulled a girl and on a night out, and then you're expecting to have unprotected sex or you're an arsehole.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If you're talking and you agree and it's like, fucking no, on condoms, I don't like them, no one likes them,
yeah,
then that's fine. But if you just go, right, I'm just going to put my dick in you now, that's fucked up.
No, yeah, that's fine.
And get regularly checked up if you are doing that.
Yeah.
Well, look at us being sensible.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to promote something?
Promo shit? If you're in Australia, I'm doing the Perth Fringe in January. I got my new show is called Aidan Jones Taco, and it's about how... I'm half Colombian because my mum got knocked up over there, and I'm meeting my biological dad in September for the first time.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to Austria. He lives over there, and I'm meeting him. I spoke to him on the phone. He speaks Spanish. He doesn't speak English. I got a half brother over there.
How are you?
My Spanish is
all right.
I can do it, but we can only have conversations about like general shit. Like I could talk to him about the
where's
football.
Where's the bank?
Yeah, or just like, oh, I did this. I've been in London. I'm a comedian. All this kind of stuff. But if I want to tell him about like how I feel, or you know, more kind of deeper things. Hard. We hit a barrier.
That's fascinating to me. When you've done that and provided you're happy to, I've got, mm-hmm. got another podcast called No Holds Barred.
Yeah,
where we
talk
about all kinds of shit.
Absolutely, come on and talk about that. Yeah, for sure, man. I'm doing a show. So I'm doing a show about it, and about my relationship with my stepdad who raised me, who's my dad. So I'm doing that in Perth in January and February, Adelaide in February in the Adelaide Fringe, and the Melbourne Comedy Festival in March and April.
8% of our listeners are from Australia.
Yeah, so if you're in any of those places, I'll probably do it in Sydney as well in late April, early May. Mm. So basically just go on my Instagram, @TacoJones.
What is it about comedians that always harness sort of dark stuff? Or not dark stuff, but stuff that could be considered upsetting?
I suppose it's what hits home more, and it's real, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's real. No one really wants to hear about how great your life is.
It's not funny,
they want
is
to
it?
Hear about how, you know, what fucked bad up shit's happened to you, so they can feel better about themselves having fucked up shit happened to them.
Yeah.
There's a comedian called Gary Goleman who is a great headlining comedian from the States, and this year, every day for the whole year, he's done a tip on stand-up on Twitter. Have you seen those, Dave?
No, they're great. I don't like stand-up.
And we can tell. one of them that was one of my favourite ones is because part of doing stand-up is connecting with the audience, and a great way to do that is to be vulnerable and to let them...
Right.
Like there's a strength in vulnerability.
Yeah.
So one of his tips was write down a bunch of things that you're embarrassed about in your life and tell one of those stories on stage, and it's a great way to get to that vulnerable place.
People sympathise with it,
yeah. Or if you're being vulnerable, it's just more real and they can tell that it's you.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm going to start doing stand-up, I've got to...
You got to go with all the vulnerable shit.
Or just pay David Alfie Ward £300 for his stand-up comedy course.
I don't do a stand-up comedy course. But you can pay me £300.
Maybe you should. That's a good idea. Is that a thing?
Yeah, oh, people absolutely do that then. Ugh.
All right, that's it.
All right,
done.
Thank you.
Thank you, boys, for coming down.
Good debut.
Thanks for
having me.
Thank you,
Taco, for coming on the pod and letting me call you Taco. And we'll see you next.
Yeah, see you soon.
Week. I'm going to potentially be doing a pod with. Actually, fuck it. I'm not going to talk about it.
All right,
bye.
What do we talk about? In what do we talk about? In what do we talk about? In concise sentences.
Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
This summer, when you're on the go, stay connected to what matters most with access to over 3 million Cox Wi-Fi hotspots. Learn more at cox.com.
Ask Ashley the podcast is sponsored by Cox.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.